Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. Wes, we're in the midst of OTAs. It's the spring OTA season. We got our first look firsthand at the Packers on the practice field earlier this week, and some media availability as well, a chance to talk to some of these players. One of the big stories I thought coming out of it, we heard Mike McCarthy right after the draft declare Ty Montgomery is his starting running back. And in talking to Montgomery in the locker room, you were a part of that conversation with some other reporters. This is a young man who is fully embracing the job that he's going to be asked to do on this football team.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And it was really interesting listening to Montgomery speak, because you go back to the draft. That was a big moment. And it's such a small, quick phrase, but when Mike McCarthy said that Ty Montgomery's our starter, it really solidified that even though you have these three young running backs I think the Packers are pretty high on, they're looking at Montgomery to set the tone in that room right now. And with him, the most intriguing part of this is that he looks at this a lot like his second NFL season, not his third. Because you go back and he had the injury issue in 2015 with the ankle, played six games as a mostly receiver. Last year was really an introduction to the running back position, a position he hadn't really played since grade school. So now for him coming back, getting this full offseason with Ben Sermons, the running backs coach here in Green Bay, this is a big opportunity for him, and I think he understands that, and he's motivated to show that, okay, Mike McCarthy's going to call me the starting running back. I want to show that I can do that. And I think now with that workload behind him, with this experience behind him, Packers are excited about this this playmaker that they have developing in their backfield.
Yeah, the dynamics of the running backs room are really interesting right now, because not often is a third-year player the senior member of a position group, right. But that's where the Packers are here. Ty Montgomery in his third season, really his first full-time season as a running back, but the rest of the guys behind him, not counting the fullbacks in the equation for right now, but the rest of the guys behind him, three draft picks and two undrafted rookies. So he's not only taking on that full-time starting role for the first time, but there's a leadership role that will go along with that as well. Because I don't know about you, I don't see Ty Montgomery having 300 or 350 carries being a complete, you know, a number one bell cow every game, 16 games. That's not how the Packers do things with the running game. These young guys, whoever it is that emerges behind him, one or two of those guys is going to have a significant role, and Ty Montgomery's leadership is going to be an important part in that supplementary part of the running game as well.
Yeah, it is, Mike. And one of the more powerful images of me that I saw on that first day of organized team activities, and our boy Marvin currently throwing over, you know, video of Ty Montgomery from last season, but really it was that image of him when the individual positional drills, being the first guy leading the group.
Yep.
You know, after all those years of that being James Starks and Eddie Lacy, it really shows you the new sort of resurgence, renaissance, whatever you might want to call it, of Montgomery being the guy in that room. Now, it's not all him. He said, you know, he's taken a lot of pointers from Maren Ripkowski, particularly in the pass protection side of things, and just being able to really understand the whole position, not just the running thing. Last year, he did a lot of things on instincts. Now he's understanding why I'm doing certain things. And first and foremost, yeah, is he going to be a guy that runs the ball 300 times? I don't think so. But he wants to prove that he can do it if they need him to. And I think that's a big thing. At 6'2", 220, all this narrative about him being too small, I think you could throw it out the window. He's just as big as any of those top 10 running backs from last season in terms of productivity. Ty Montgomery's out to show this year he can be a three-down back, be a complete back, and not just a guy they threw in the backfield because they were out of options. This is a guy that wants to legitimately be a starting running back in this league.
Yeah, another element that I thought was interesting, you quoted him in the story that you wrote on our website about this. He talked about last year, you mentioned it, kind of just running on instincts. It's get the ball, you do what you can with it, understand the scheme. Now he's taking it to the next step in that he was talking about, I'm looking at the defensive front, the linebacker flow, you know, how the defensive backs are filling in the gaps against the run. He's looking beyond now just what the Packers' offensive scheme and what his responsibility is, but then what the defense is doing and how he can make the most of it. And that's the evolution of this position transition, as you said, a spot that he hasn't really played a whole lot since he was, you know, a grade schooler.
Yeah, and the thing that also is a lot different is just his size. I mean, he said when he was playing receiver, there was a lot of pressure, not so much externally, but internally, to keep his weight down because he didn't want to sacrifice any of his speed or quickness. Well, now he's starting to learn that, okay, he can train, he can lift weights like a running back. He doesn't have to just be 215 pounds. He can be 220, 225. And I think if you got a chance to see him a little bit during this first week of OTAs, I mean, he looks legitimately cut right now. I mean, he is jacked, for a lack of a better term. And really, that's the kind of thing you need to be when you're a running back. All positions of that, every aspect of the running back position, it just seems to play into what every one of Ty Montgomery's strengths are.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Ty Montgomery and what he's doing here with his NFL career. I also have a lot of respect for this position he's trying to play and how brutal, how physical it is, how tough it is to be that lead running back on a team and carry the ball like that, like he's going to be asked to do. But we've got to get to a break, Wes. With that, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, as we got back into the Packers locker room for some interviews this week, a familiar face was back, and that's cornerback Devon House, number 31, back in his old number, the same jersey that he wore for his 4 years in Green Bay upon arriving as a fourth-round draft pick in 2011. And I guess the best way to sum up how Devon House maybe feels right now is that he is glad to be back. He is happy to be where he is right now.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times he mentioned the word lucky in reflecting on his journey here and the chance to come back to Green Bay now as a seventh-year cornerback. Devon House has always kind of been one of my favorites in terms of guys to talk to in the locker room. He speaks his mind. He's articulate, and he really is confident. And yep, he was confident 2 years ago, and he's confident now. And right now, not that he ever wasn't hungry before, but listening to him speak, you can tell that this is a guy with a chip on his shoulder. This is a guy that feels he has something to prove, because his first year in Jacksonville, everything aligned. You know, he finally was able to stay healthy. Terrific season. He finally was able to stay healthy for 16 games with 17 starts, 60 tackles, 23 pass deflections, a franchise record,
right,
and 4 interceptions. That, I think, was validation for House of everything he always thought he was capable of, but just there always seemed to be one setback or another that prevented him from being a full-time starter in Green Bay. When you go to 2016, they make a change with the defense. They go more to a cover three, away from being a press man type system. It doesn't work with really what House's skill set was. He gets back on the market in March, and within a week of him being cut by the Jaguars, talking to his agent, said, "I want to be back in Green Bay." Even when he was in the middle of a visit with the Pittsburgh Steelers, when that call came, it was a no-brainer for him. And he feels fortunate to be back with Dom Capers in this defense, to be back working with Joe Witt, and now trying to tie up some loose ends from his first stint in Green Bay.
Yeah, you mentioned he's kind of got that chip on his shoulder. I give him credit in the sense that he's put a lot out there in terms of what he's said so far about what happened in Jacksonville last year, where he is right now. Some people would look at what he said about the scheme in Jacksonville and how things changed. Some people would look at that as oh, that's just an excuse, whatever. Well, what he's saying now, that I'm where I want to be, I'm going to play press man here, this Dom Capers system is where I belong. Right. He's laid it out there now. There are no more excuses. Whatever you want to say about what he thinks of what happened in Jacksonville, he's laid it out there. He's put it out there himself that it's all on him now. There's no other circumstances that are going to affect, in his mind, what he can do on the field.
Right, and that kind of came into his first conversation with Joe Witt after he did resign. He said he kind of jokingly told Witt, I probably need you guys even more than you need me, just because he looks at his style of play and understanding how they were using him the first time and really how that sort of deviated last year, and just knowing that he needs a particular system for him to be the type of player he knows he can be and to show everybody he can be that player. But really, the thing about House is he brings such a unique perspective, because you think about it, Mike, he had Charles Woodson and Tremont Williams to work under when he got here. We're talking about a future Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you're talking about one of the great undrafted free agent stories of all time, I think, in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And to have those two differing perspectives and to have the experience of working with Sam Shields, another undrafted guy, to work with Casey Hayward and Jared Bush, you know, he didn't really play with any of these guys that are in Green Bay now in that cornerback room. They were all came in, for the most part, after he had already left.
Right.
But now he can kind of bring in some of those lessons that he learned from Woodson and Williams and try to translate that and pass that on. I think that whole group in general feels like there's a lot to prove this year, and House is going to hopefully, from their perspective, you know, be a veteran that's going to help provide some of that you know, that stabilizing presence.
Yeah, I would agree. You like hearing from a veteran like House that he's not necessarily saying he's got it all figured out. He's not out there saying, you know, well, I'm headed to the Pro Bowl and, you know, I'm the A number one guy in this cornerback room. He's not looking at it that way. As you said, he feels he's got something to prove. He knows there will be some leadership that he can provide as a seventh year guy,
right,
for a lot of second and third year guys that are in that cornerback's room. But he knows there's some talent in that room as well, and he made no bones about it. When he looks at the film, he's reviewed some things, talking to the coaches. You know, injuries were definitely a factor for that cornerback group last year. He's not counting out Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins.
Right.
And he's not out there saying, well, you know, this is my job now because I'm the seventh year guy, and those guys maybe didn't live up to expectations last year. He's looking at the big picture. He's taking a very mature, I think, a very mature veteran view of the situation he's walking into, what he can do, and, you know, how he can lead, but also how he can fit in.
Right. And one other tidbit, too, I thought was really interesting is he said he still taped every Packer game during the 2 years that he was gone.
Yeah.
And he also kept all of his gear from the first time he was in Green Bay. He didn't get rid of it. So that made it for an easier transition. But also looking at these three young cornerbacks in Gunter, Rollins, and Randall, he's impressed with what he sees, and he knows what the numbers are. He knows what the pass defense was, but I thought it was really interesting that he said he doesn't believe they're that far away from what they were in 2015 when they were the sixth-ranked pass defense. There's a lot of confidence there right now that these guys can turn it around in 2017.
Definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz, continuing our discussion of week one of OTAs here for the Green Bay Packers. And our first look on the field, Wes, at the Packers' two new tight ends, two big additions to the offense. And I guess when I say big, that describes Martellus Bennett, who I stood next to him on the sideline there for the first time, and I never realized just how big that guy is. And Lance Kendricks is no slouch either in terms of size, but there's something about this new number 80, Marty Bennett. He's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, I think you go back to that Ted Thompson line about how they just don't make a whole lot of defensive linemen the way they do. They don't make very many skill position players, specifically tight ends. Like Martellus Bennett, 6'6", 275.
Yeah.
He is a unique player when you look at his skill set. But the thing that stands out the most, I think, is just the height and just how he looks when he's in line. It's pretty impressive. But as you said, too, with Lance Kendricks, the Wisconsin native, Milwaukee native, he, too, is a guy that I think brings something interesting to the table. And Packers have talked about it all offseason, Mike. They're incredibly excited about this group of tight ends that they have right now. And considering this was basically the first two moves they made during the free agent process,
yep,
once that began in March, I think that kind of underscores the importance and the emphasis they're placing on it heading into next season.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, as we've talked about already, schematically just what develops here now with Bennett and Kendricks as tight ends. I was part of a group interview with Jordy Nelson in the locker room, and Jordy was asked about, well, you know, you go two tight end set, you know, Bennett and Kendricks at the two tight ends, you know, what kind of sub package is the defense going to throw out there? And Nelson's answer was, well, maybe they don't go to a sub package at all. Maybe they have to stay more in their base
right
defense And then, you know, the Packers then get to pick exactly how they want to attack, you know, more of a base set as opposed to more exotic look or whatever you want to call it. This is going to be an ongoing story, I think, throughout the season, how this works with this group of tight ends, Bennett, Kendricks, and Richard Rodgers. How this works in September, it may not look the same in November and December as the season evolves. This is going to be something that's going to take some time. There are going to be adjustments on both sides by defenses, by the Packers. But you like the potential variety. Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers have talked about wanting to have more of a run pass balance. Aaron Rodgers mentioned, you know, you go to a two tight end set with guys who are both accomplished blockers as well as effective downfield pass catchers, and it keeps you balanced. He called it a tendency breaker because the defense doesn't necessarily know what you're going to do. They can't look at the formation and the personnel and say, oh, okay, well, you know, they 75% of the time they pass out of this. Well, that may not be the case anymore.
Right, and I think that's ultimately what made Martellus Bennett the number one probably tight end prospect on most people's boards, you know, this free agency in terms of who was available, because he is pretty much an all-around type player, and he takes a lot of pride in being an interior tight end, an inline tight end who blocks. But then you look at Kendricks too. I mean, the way that he projects, I mean, you can use him in the backfield as an H-back. You can split him out wide, has sort of those hybrid sort of attributes that you look for. And then a guy like Richard Rodgers has done it all during his past 3 years in Green Bay and how they use him. So that is the interesting thing. One of the comments I really enjoyed from Brian Angelicchio, the Packers tight ends coach too, when he was asked about having Kendricks and Bennett in that room, how he mentioned, you know, their personalities, it sort of brings a balance to everything. Kendricks is a little more quiet,
yeah,
a little bit more, you know, just not as boisterous, whereas everyone knows the personality and that Bennett has. So it's an interesting group. It's an interesting mix. And I think the Packers, when you look at how this could potentially fit into what they want to do in 2017, nobody really knows. And I think that's one of the really intriguing things about this offense, is just how many different variants they can really branch off into in terms of how they want to approach their offensive scheme and game plan for next season.
Yeah, the fit of the two new tight ends is interesting to me, and I think I mentioned this on a previous show. You have Bennett, a 10-year veteran who is coming off a Super Bowl championship. He, right, you know, spends a decade in the league and then finally gets to a Super Bowl, wins a title with the Patriots. And then you have Kendricks, who's been in the league for a handful of years and never been in a playoff game, like Jared Cook the year before when he came to Green Bay, having you know, put in 6-7 years in the league and not having gone to the postseason. So two guys at opposite ends of things in terms of where they're coming from. It makes for an interesting mix, and I think a productive mix personality wise, adding to this Green Bay offense.
Yeah, I remember talking to Jared Cook too a little bit about, you know, two tight end packages, and just with, you know, when the Packers did release Justin Perillo last season, it was really just him and Richard Rodgers the rest, yep, of the way, and that sort of limited them in some ways of what they could do with two tight ends, because really both of those guys played in different, you know, areas of the offense. So now that isn't going to be an issue. If they want to go two tight ends, if they want to start doing some power running, more I form, whatever it might be, they're going to have three really good prospects to work with here in developing, you know, that identity for 2017.
Yeah, having a creative mind like Mike McCarthy pulling the strings, and then the in-game mind of an Aaron Rodgers to decipher the defense and stuff. This is really going to be an interesting story to follow in 2017. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, continuing our discussion of the offense here in OTAs, we heard from Mike McCarthy about some adjustments that have been made to the OTA practices. Now, he somewhat tongue-in-cheek said earlier this offseason that maybe in OTAs we won't even run the ball because of the focus on wanting to get things squared away with the pass defense in particular. Focusing on that part of things. Now, that's not exactly what's happening, but he did mention that anywhere from 6 to 7, maybe 10% of the snaps in the 11-on-11 stuff they're doing in OTAs that would normally go to the running game are going to the passing game. I think it's also a reflection of you know, Mike McCarthy's belief that you really aren't going to be able to do too much in the running game until you get to training camp and put the pads on and everything like that, and you get the live hitting. You can be much more productive in the passing game in shorts and helmets where it's not full pads, and so they're just trying to take advantage of that here this offseason.
Packers center Corey Linsley was in a little bit of a group huddle with him during the first day of OTAs, and he mentioned it makes a lot of sense when you really break it down. Why not get better at what you can get better at during the offseason program, as opposed to having to sort of go half speed with the running game? I mean, the Packers put a lot of emphasis on that come training camp. They'll do their half line drills. They'll do a lot of stuff once the pads come on.
Yeah.
But it's hard to simulate that when you're in the shells process and you're not doing, you know, what you usually do in terms of contact when the non-contact drills. So it makes a lot of sense. And I actually asked Alex Van Pelt, the quarterback's coach, about this too. And he mentioned not only does it help in terms of just the overall passing game and testing the passing defense, it also allows a lot of these younger guys, as far as the quarterbacks, more opportunities to throw the ball. If Joe Callahan gets two or three more passes during a practice than he did last year, that can be really valuable. Taysom Hill, the same thing. Brett Hundley, even though he's going into year three,
sure,
that can make a difference. So that, I think, is one of the more logical things that you could do during this process is, okay, you can't have the contact stuff. You're not going to get a full feel of what the run is going to do. So, yeah, why not pass the ball a little bit more? You have one of the best passers, if not the best passer in the NFL. Have him test your secondary. Have him give those looks to help out those younger players and start to understand, okay, this is what we're looking at.
Yeah, that being said, you can't completely ignore the running game in OTAs, right? Not when you have as many rookie running backs who are trying to learn the playbook and get up to speed. They need to see some of those looks. The Packers are giving those to the young running backs and bringing them along in this teaching and learning phase. But what the Packers are going to find out about their running game and just where it stands is going to be in August.
Yeah, and that's really where we see the biggest difference. That's where we knew what Eddie Lacy was going to do. You could see him in, you know, the shorts during the summer, but what does he do when he gets those pads on? That's the big telling point.
Definitely. Well, with that, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I am at Mike Spofford. The team account is at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.